broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is Thanksgiving Eve Day. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We will be live on Thanksgiving Day. We will be live the Friday after, in other words, 2 days from now. We are live on Thanksgiving Eve Day. We will be live on Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving. So, we'll be live all those days. Why? Because we want to spend time with you. We consider you our liberty-loving family. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing excellent. Last hour, we talked about how the judges are out of control in America, and so our recommendation is Donald Trump move quickly to put all the judges in place up and down the line that you could possibly get before the change of Congress in January 2019. The more we get done now, the better. We're providing advice. We're providing solutions, recommendations, suggestions. We know we live in the real, but we want to teach to the ideal. And I'm telling you right now, we took a beating, I submit to you, from the ideal perspective. We don't have near as many constitutional conservatives as we once had, I don't think. The real, Kurt wisely points out, is, hey, you know what? We did a whole lot better than historical. And believe it or not, we actually gained a couple of seats in the Senate, which I think is great news. And we actually got rid of a lot of swamp monsters and replaced them with folks that will hopefully have higher freedom index scores or higher constitutional scores. So that's the good news. The negative, Kurt, though, in this is that it still takes 60 senators for most things. A supermajority is what they call it. In my opinion, it's super stupid. What we need to do is get rid of that. Mitch McConnell's been fighting it for quite some time, but we need to get rid of those, quote, supermajorities, because that's not historical. That's not the way the Constitution calls it to be. And we've got this internal regulatory rule that's causing a lot of problems. And if the one or two seat gain is going to matter, it's going to be getting rid of that 60% requirement all the time, or we're still going to fall sadly short. So the real is we've got to get rid of that 60% majority kind of supermajority discussion. The ideal would be we go back to the Constitution and don't have that at all. But I am afraid these two gains will help some, but they won't help near enough as long as we leave that supermajority in place. Our recommendation, dump the supermajority yesterday in the Senate. And we need to put pressure on Mitch McConnell to get that done. Now, he's in Kentucky. Now, we mentioned last hour that, you know what, Mitt Romney's with Mike Lee. Mike Lee can lead from the front. Great constitutional guy in many ways. And he can help Mitt Romney be more constitutional if we the people push. Same thing in Kentucky. The negative is you got Mitch McConnell. The guy's a goofball. What is Mitch McConnell's record anyway, Kurt? Maybe you can confirm that for me. But Rand Paul's at a 94% constitutional votes. That's incredible. And so we got Rand Paul that can lead Mitch McConnell. And we, the people, need to push. That's where our efforts are best utilized, if you will. Kurt?
McConnell's got a 60.
All right. So again, you know, worse than Orrin Hatch. That's not saying much for McConnell. Now, I don't know when the vote is to get McConnell out. I submit we ought to get him out. 60% doesn't impress me. But if we're going to lose to a Democrat, we'd rather keep Mitch, right? Now, some would say, well, that's the lesser of two evils, Sam. That's still voting for evil. And my response is, I don't think so.
Orrin Hatch is a 57.
So oh, so he's better than Orrin. All right, good news. Thank you. So I'm just telling you that this is something critical. I bring this all up because, Kurt, it's instructive to understand that with that supermajority, you know, the Republican gains aren't going to help much. The real answer is to go back to the Constitution and get rid of that regulation that's been hurting us for decades, especially when it comes to voting to reject or shut down Roe versus Wade and move towards pro-life. Because believe it or not, if we get rid of that 60% supermajority, we might actually have enough senators to defund Planned Parenthood, Kurt, in the Senate. Wow.
It's anyway, possible.
It's a hope, nevertheless. All right, Kurt, you're supposed to throw away all your romaine lettuce CDC warns. You want to come in on this one?
Well, yeah. I mean, because, of course, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they can, know that every little bit of lettuce everywhere, all the romaine lettuce is just, you know, bad. And that's just, I mean, you know, your government said it, so everybody's just doing the massive throwaway of romaine lettuce, right?
I don't think so. Do you think so?
I would recommend that you use a good, cleaner kind of thing to make sure that, all your food is, well prepared.
Let me get this right.
That kind of thing.
But what you're saying to me, Curtis, there's a better way than just throwing out all your lettuce?
That's my opinion.
Wow. What would people use and stuff like that? See, the CDC just wants you to obey. But Kurt's saying there's a better way, and I think you're right, Kurt. What would you recommend people use?
Well, there's a number of companies that have good, wash kind of idea items that you can use that would basically eliminate those kind of bacteria, as far as I understand.
All right. Anyway, I think that's worthy of consideration, to say the least, right?
Yeah, and then I would highly recommend you do everything you can to eliminate any questionable ingredient that you would add to your diet, and then improve all the ones that you're putting in. Whatever you're doing, improve your health, your rest, your exercise, all those kinds of things. I don't hear the CDC saying anything about the high levels of sugar, all the other, problems in our diet, but they're going to tell you to, trash all the romaine lettuce,
Yeah, and I'm not sure that just destroying all the romaine lettuce is the answer. How do you know that, how do you know if it's good or bad? In fact, here's the interesting thing. I ate romaine lettuce last night, Kurt. And then I read this thing, and I just
You're
about
still
freaked.
With us.
I'm not dead yet, I was waiting any moment for the collapse to come, but it didn't.
Yeah, because, you like you said, we've got to be live through Saturday, and you've already said it. And, having that romaine lettuce in your, it's just lucky you're still around now, Sam.
But I bring it all up, though, because what I don't like is this panic across the country. Oh my gosh, everybody's just got to throw out all the lettuce everywhere. We just got to freak and panic, and what's next to avoid, And we run from mass poison scare to mass poison scare, almost like an epidemic, Kurt. And I think what we need to do is be taught and instructed about how we can best deal with this. What if we do have bad lettuce? But if there ever becomes a famine in the land or a shortage of food, at some point you'll say, I'm not throwing away that lettuce. We need to eat it. We don't have a choice. We need to eat it. How would be the best way then to eat it? Would be the real and the ideal, right? How would we best? What would we do? And I think Kurt's bringing up what we would do. We would use. There's all kinds of vegetable cleaners from different companies out there that you can use. What do? You mix the cleaner in water and then rinse it real good?
Yeah.
And then the food would be usable, Kurt. I think that's a much better plan. Where's the CDC? Are they going to talk about this? And if not, why not, Kurt? Are they afraid people won't follow directions, or do they love the mass scare tactics? What's the deal here?
At least one of the main deals, if you ask me, is try to find the CDC in the Constitution, Sam. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, as one of our friends, Trish Fijo and Jim Fijo, would call it the Centers for Domination and Control,
And sadly, they're spot on.
Yeah, good point.
So anyway, I think that's an important thing, and I wanted to bring it up because I think that there's better ways that just destroy all lettuce, says your government. Unconstitutional government agency. I think there's a better way. I think Kurt's spot on. And so I thought I'd just ask the health expert on Liberty Roundtable Live to kind of break that down and give people a little bit of hope and a little bit of ideas, huh? All right. John Birch Society Freedom Index in Utah. We also talked about the index everywhere, huh? So that's good. That was last hour. All right, Kurt, I got a problem with Donald Trump right now, and I want to highlight it and get your take on it. Donald Trump and Rand Paul are having a little bit of a tiff right now. Did you see this?
No.
Trump says U.S. to remain steadfast partner with Saudi Arabia despite, what is it, Khashoggi killing? So Donald's saying, hey, we're going to hang out with the Saudi Arabians regardless if they killed this guy. And Donald Trump having a very interesting reason for doing so. Rand Paul having a completely different take. And the reason it's important to discuss this is not to attack the president, but to understand what's the right thing to do. What's the wise course of action? So Donald Trump basically saying, hey, it's too important financially to not keep ties with Saudi Arabia, says Trump. President Donald Trump, according to the Associated Press, vastly inflated the value of planned Saudi investments in the United States on Tuesday as he explained why he's standing with Saudi Arabia despite the conclusion of his intelligence officials. So Donald's going against Rand Paul and the intelligence officials. Because the officials say that the kingdom's de facto leader was involved in the killing of a U.S. journalist. Trump cited a $110 billion arms package, so we're funding pro-war to the Saudi Arabia group. He says it's part of $450 billion in planned investments by Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about it.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
All right, back with you live. So Donald Trump says there's a lot of jobs at stake. And he's going to back with and keep a strong partnership with Saudi Arabia. A lot of money's at stake, says the Donald. But there's a little tiff between some of the public intelligence officials and Donald Trump. They say the crown prince or whatever knew of the killing, and they don't know how involved he was, but he wasn't separate from it or whatever you want to say, like the first claims articulated. Now, Rand Paul is kind of leading the charge against the president on this, along with some intelligence military officials. And Rand Paul said, let's put America first, not Saudi Arabia. That was a tweet Rand sent out. Let's put America first, not Saudi Arabia. Senator Paul says, quote, I will continue to press for legislation to stop the Saudi arms sales, in other words, the United States funding Saudi Arabia, and the war in Yemen. And I commend Rand Paul for his stand. Senator Rand Paul retweeted a comment, fact, of the 19 hijackers who carried out 9/11. Did you know 17 of them? Oh, I'm sorry, 15, not 17, 15 out of 19 were from Saudi Arabia. The Saudis, if you will, never paid any price for what they did to America. Every family should sue Saudi Arabia for billions for what they did. They planned and funded 9/11. So Rand Paul's making the, in my opinion, the important point that, look, this isn't just a situation where one journalist was killed. We don't know the details, but let's turn a blind eye. This is an example where we're literally saying we bring jobs by funding war, arming the Saudis. We find out literally it's beyond debate. Ron Paul mentioned it in a House floor speech right when 9/11 took place, that it was the Saudis. Everybody ignored him and laughed and jeered and mocked. And now the senator, Rand Paul, his son, if you will, is doubling down saying, hey, man, the Saudis literally planned and funded and carried out 9/11. Now, you could say, well, the Saudi government didn't do that. Well, we don't know. We don't know how much the Saudi government was involved in killing this journalist, and we don't know how involved they were in 9/11 either, but we know this. The terrorism in both cases coming from the country of Saudi Arabia. And what Rand Paul is calling for is, let's not fund and send weapons to these people. Donald saying, too many jobs at stake, we're doing it anyway. The battle's on for the hearts and minds of the American people. But Kurt, I don't say jobs are at stake. I say we're pro-life. What will result in the least amount of life taken? And what is the constitutional guidance on this war or meddling in foreign affairs, etc.? Who's right on this? Is it Rand Paul or is it Donald Trump? And we're not trying to just see which way the wind blows. What we're trying to see is, morally speaking, on a principled-based discussion, who is right and what we ought to do to help that cause. In my mind, that's the discussion point. But this is a big issue, Kurt. And I think we have an opportunity to train Americans that we want to be pro-peace, that we want to back Ron Paul's points. That doesn't mean we want to be Saudi Arabia's enemy. But it does mean, why are we going to arm and train and fund war? And why are we going to turn a blind eye to some of these, in my opinion, big problems? I don't know why we would do that. It's kind of like how we ignored the USS Liberty sinking when Israel literally attacked our warship back in, 1967 or whatever. Why are we going to ignore that, too? I don't think we should ignore these actions by these other countries. And I certainly don't think we ought to go against the Constitution and have a pro-war mentality just for jobs. Anyway, interesting battle. Kurt, do you want to weigh in on this?
I don't know what else to add, Sam, but as you've mentioned, you got different parts, and it's very important what Rand Paul's brought up about the 9/11 thing, or yeah, that's right. That kind of thing, and how the Saudi Arabians basically had nothing or paid nothing for it. His mention of that is very important here. I don't see anybody else bringing that up. I understand, at least when it comes to the president, I heard that he said basically, look, if we don't sell them those weapons, then what they'll do is they'll buy them from the communist Chinese or the Russians, which would enhance their, their association with those guys there, which, you really don't want to encourage that. And so you just kind of go in, how do we walk this tightrope?
Well, it's kind of like the idea that if we don't fund the Mexican drug cartels, they'll just go to Cuba and Venezuela and get their arms, and that's backed into the communists
as well.
Well,
I don't see that as exactly the same here. Okay. The reason I'm telling you that, at least, let's say you've got a Saudi Arabia, and that's exactly what we've got here, and they're a pretty powerful piece of the Middle East. At least right now, they talk to us, and they, you know, you could say they're our, you know, quote friend there. And so if they're, if we're their supplier for their military, that kind of thing, then at least you could say they're our ally. On the other hand, if you make them where they are buying from the communist Chinese or the Russians, then it would move them closer to being what I'd call an ally of those guys, which, you know,
is, that's right. So fundamentally, your points are valid. There's two sides to this discussion. At the end of the day, though, you got to decide, are you going to vote to send arms to Saudi Arabia? Rand Paul's faced with that vote or that legislative, you know, who's going to set the agenda and who's going to put the bills in and decide what we do. It's the congressional responsibility to decide to fund this or not. They're the ones that control the purse strings in the House and then the Senate and then the president. So would you vote with Rand Paul to say, hey, we're not going to sell you arms? And we're going to back out of the war in Yemen? Or would you vote with a Donald Trump that would say, hey, jobs are at stake and we got to, you know, fund them or else somebody else will, and the somebody else will is worse than us doing it? In other words, I understand the validity to both sides of the argument, but at the end of the day, you got to make a choice what you would be willing to do and or support doing. And then we got to push our congressmen and senators to hopefully carry out our will, right?
Good point.
What would you do, Kurt? I'm siding with Rand Paul on this one. I understand that the enemies might sell weapons to these guys, but at least we wouldn't have blood on our hands in that way, and we would be backing off and saying we want more peace rather than war. And, you know, if our most favored nation trading partner is selling weapons to the Saudis, then we got to discuss how we're going to deal with that, too. But I would side with Rand on this.
Yeah, the one thing I'd do if I were the president, at least, you know, knowing what I've heard, is I would say, hey, Rand, that's a great point about 9/11. Let's go ahead and work on that with the Saudis and see what we can do about getting reparations and at least, you know, some kind of concessions because of the fact that they were, you know, a culprit here in this part. Now you just certainly don't want to flick too many bics when everybody's got an open gas can, you know, but, you know, it seems like, you know, you've got to be very careful in the world relations, but you just can't, you can't protect life too much, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's right. So would you be a co-sponsor of Rand's bill if you were in the Senate? Kurt Rand is putting forward a bill. He says he's going to continue to push for legislation. Rand Paul, I will continue to push or press, he says, I'm sorry, not push, press for legislation to stop the Saudi arms sales and to stop the war in Yemen. Do you become a co-sponsor of that bill, or do you put forth different legislation, or do you just stay out of it? What do you do if you're in the Senate?
I would push for it.
Okay. I just think it's important for people to understand that I'm not trying to pit Rand Paul against Donald Trump. What I'm hoping to do is say, hey, you know what? What is the best way forward here? No doubt, both choices have some very dire consequences. No doubt, we've meddled in the affairs of other nations so much now, backing out's going to be a tough road to hoe, and it's not going to be pretty or fun, and we run a lot of risks no matter what choices we make, right? This isn't a great discussion to have. Nevertheless, we're in the middle of it. The real says we've got to deal with this thing. What would be the ideal in dealing with the real? How would we go about it? What would we do? And the only reason it matters, folks, is because we can't leave it to somebody that's supposedly better, smarter, more constitutional than us to decide. Our congressmen and senators ought to do what we want them to do. And we need to make our feelings and our beliefs and our understanding known. And I think we need to push for solutions. What should the president do? Hopefully we can instruct him in a more peaceful, kind, gentle, but yet negotiated way that will bring about more peace. That would be the agenda, I would hope. All right, hang tight. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Happy Thanksgiving. Tough war decisions on Thanksgiving, huh?
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so this showdown between the Donald and the Ronald. Not the Ronald. The Donald and the Ranald. Yeah. Donald Trump and Rand Paul on opposite sides of this Saudi Arabia issue. Kurt's got an update with the tales, huh?
Well, it's a piece from the guys at the dailymail.co.uk. And what you've got is the headline reads, "Thank you to Saudi Arabia. Trump calls low oil prices a tax cut for America and the world after shielding Crown Prince from attacks over Khashoggi murder." You know, you've got some sub-headlines as well, but that's pretty much what you've got there, just in a little bit more detail to this. I don't know that it adds a lot, but I just thought it was worth throwing in.
So Donald basically saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to blow up the whole world's economy over this thing. And he wants to say thank you to Saudi Arabia. I don't know if it's thank you for killing our journalist, but it's thank you for what? Oil prices?
The journalist or the guy was a Washington Post representative, as far as I know. There's some question as to how much, you know, he was a journalist and how much he wasn't. But the bottom line is it shouldn't be been killed. And, you know, whether it happens in Chicago on the streets or in the Saudi, you know, Crown Prince's place, it's a bad deal.
Yeah, Rand Paul fires back in the same article, Kurt. Rand Paul says he has the votes in the Senate to force through sanctions. and says that U.S. arms sales are not a jobs program.
You're exactly right.
So, you know, this battle's heating up. And again, I don't want to highlight the differences. I'm not trying to foment a fracture in the Republican Party here. But what I am trying to do is get you guys to understand these decisions are real. Guys like Donald Trump and Rand Paul don't have the ability to say, I'm just not going to deal with this like we do. And I point that out because it's a heavy responsibility, right? I mean, you've got to say,
that's exactly
what's
right.
The best way to move forward? Is Donald wrong? I don't think Donald's entirely wrong. Now, I would have to side with Rand Paul on it, but the points that President Trump are making are very good. Do we want to blow up the world's economy over this? Do we want to pick sides and literally go into a Cold War over this kind of a thing where the Chinese and the Russians double down and back Saudi Arabia and we call Saudi Arabia an enemy? And is that a better plan? So one of the things that I like is Kurt said, hey, what I would do is say this. You know what? We got to sit down with the diplomatic relations team here and say, hey, Saudi Arabia, you know what? We know that there was a big involvement in terrorism. 15 out of the 19 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia. That is a serious problem, my friends. And this idea that our journalist was killed is a big problem. If the tables were turned, how would you be reacting to us? And we want to keep you as a friend in the Middle East. We need friendlies in the Middle East. We need peace. How do we best move forward? And can there be a middle ground between a Rand Paul's idea, which is, hey, start putting sanctions, end the war, quit sending arms, penalize them for 9/11 big time? I'm not so sure that either extreme plan is the answer forward, personally. If I had to side, I would side with Rand Paul more than Donald on this because I agree it's not a jobs program. But I don't know that I would force through sanctions necessarily at this point either, Kurt. I would see what I could diplomatically work out before I would do anything else personally. And I would try to understand the good in Saudi Arabia and the relationship we've had over the years. But I would also say this cannot go on. You can't have 15 out of 19 terrorists come from your country with no accountability. You can't have our journalist killed. Now, we can debate if he was a journalist or whether he was a WAPO guy or, you know, if I'm killed, I don't want somebody to debate if I'm a journalist or a radio personality. We're off on the wrong discussion if we're debating that. But I'm saying our guy was killed, and you could say, well, he's not our guy. He's a WAPO guy. He's the liberal enemy. Okay, he's an enemy of the press. Hey, who cares if an enemy of the people gets killed? He's a press guy. I don't want to go into all those internal disputes here. What I want to say is we just can't have this kind of behavior from Saudi Arabia. And what can we do to diplomatically stop it and not reward this behavior? What can we do to back out of a war or reduce war? What can we do to not sell arms but not have others sell arms either? What can we do to, you know, we got a tough row to hoe here. And so I don't want to just double down and pile on the Donald and say Donald's all wrong on this. There's some heavy, weighty matters here. And Rand Paul in the Senate doesn't have a choice to ignore this because there's legislation that comes pro and con. He's got to decide on it. He's also got to push for what he legislatively believes makes sense when it comes to funding and et cetera. And Donald Trump especially has a heavy weight. What does he do here? I mean, is it best to do? I don't know the answers, except I know that if I were the president, if I were king for a day, as some like to say, I would basically pray hard. I would get on my knees and pray hard for guidance from the Almighty of what ought we to do. And I know this, I would gravitate towards less arms sales. I would gravitate towards economic jobs that are not built on war. In other words, the military-industrial complex. I would move towards diplomatic discussions and relations with Saudi Arabia to try to change the discussions here. And I'd try to do it peacefully. And I don't know that I'd blow up the world on either side personally. But I know this, I'd be on my knees praying for guidance. I can promise you that. So there's my take, Kurt. Anything to add to that?
I'd say just a couple of items, Sam. Sure. You know, like these are sub-headlines from the DailyMail.com piece. You know, you've mentioned a couple of them.
Well, it's DailyMail.UK.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where one of them says he is refusing, we're talking about the president, he is refusing to blame Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia's de facto ruler, who the CIA have concluded ordered the torture and murder of the journalists.
Now, let me stop you there for a second, too. Well, go ahead, and then I'll make a comment on this.
You know, the president is surrounded, in my opinion, by many in what I'd call the swamp. I don't think you can trust the CIA for sure. In fact, a lot of times I wonder if they're not the cause of more war and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which keeps them in business. I know there are good guys in there. I just can't say that they're all good guys.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely. I wouldn't trust the CIA either. Now, I might trust some other officials, and I would certainly trust Rand Paul's take. He's on some of these committees where he has a lot of intel we don't have, too. But I'd be very careful, and I certainly wouldn't trust the CIA. I'll agree with that. All right, next tidbit in this.
Well, then, when it comes to life, Sam, I mean, this is a journalist or a, you know, so-called journalist, whatever, that was killed. You know, certainly Rand Paul could use, I got about 3 minutes. Certainly Rand Paul could use about, he could say, look, what about all the killings in Chicago? What about all the killings of all these babies that we're funding through Planned Parenthood? There's a whole bunch of life connections to this that we could bring up, that we could be pushing for, including the 9/11 thing, et cetera.
Yeah, and in that point, Donald Trump is right in that. Are we going to blow this up over a single journalist or a so-called journalist? 9/11, certainly the right decisions weren't made back in the day, but Donald wasn't at the helm then. Should he go back and just try to blow up the world over that discussion? I don't think so. I agree with you, Kurt, that we need to double down and get our home, cleanse the inner vessel first to some degree. And good maybe point. Rand Paul could focus on that and say, look, let's sit down with Saudi Arabia. Let's get a negotiation team together. Let's make sure this stuff doesn't continue. At the same time, let's make sure we cleanse our inner vessel. What if we got rid of murdering of babies in America and we reduced the shootings in Chicago and other places by getting rid of the gun-free zones? And then we got on our knees and prayed hard as our diplomatic team spends time with our allies, the Saudi Arabians. And I agree that can we blame this, Crown Prince guy? We don't know for sure. The CIA says they were involved, but they don't know to what extent. I don't know that we should jump to conclusions either. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, and to what degree, we don't know. There's a lot of internal details we don't have here, is the point. And so I can't double down and just say I'm 100% back Rand on this. I can say that I really want to stop the war in Yemen. I agree, and I would vote to support Rand Paul in that effort. I can say I don't really want to sell a bunch of arms to countries. I don't want to continue to fund the military-industrial complex, and especially I don't want to do it by saying we need the jobs. But I do understand that at some point we've put ourselves in a very difficult situation in America. How do we get out of the road so we're not getting hit by traffic both directions? And I would say it starts with, like Kurt says, let's clean our inner vessel. Let's get our act together at home so we're setting America as a light upon a hill. Then let's get on our knees and pray very hard about what we ought to do. How do we peacefully extract ourselves? How do we become the world's leader in the peddling of peace? Not war and propaganda. All right, we want to talk about Dallas jail guards coming up. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dallas jail guards are in the news. This story is weird as all get out, ladies and gentlemen. But again, it just shows the immorality in America. That's why I say Kurt's right. We got to clean the inner vessel and focus on things here at home. We got to make sure we're the leader. We got to make sure we repent and turn to God and get his blessings. And then we can maybe have a better chance to go out in the world and make wiser decisions. Kurt, Texas jail guards.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, if you'd have told my grandpa about a story about this, he would have said, what? The headline, Dallas jail guards ordered transgender woman to show her genitals, suit claims. So, the headline doesn't really, like most headlines, doesn't really tell the whole story. But what you've got, Sam, is, you have a situation where the jailers are, there's a person. Now, they call him a transgender woman. Now, she has filed a lawsuit. Or I don't know if you say she or he, but it's kind of hard. But they filed a lawsuit and say they were humiliated. This person's name is Valerie Jackson, 32. They were allegedly going through an airport security with a gun, and it says her purse. I don't know why you always say her in these cases, but anyway. The lawsuit said that she suffered trauma, felt demoralized, anxious, stressed, a loss of dignity and fear, because Dallas County housed her with male inmates. An officer in the jail allegedly asked her, and I put that in quotes, to show her genitals to determine whether she would be housed with men. We have to protect you. We can't put you with men if you have a vagina, the jail officer said. A grand jury dropped. Anyway, it goes on, but you can understand it's a little confusing, Sam, and a little tough on being a jailer in these days, right?
I would say it's more than confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not really saying that you ought to order someone to show their genitals. I would go about it differently. I get, again, these people have to live in the real and make decisions, Kurt. We can be critical all day long, but I would basically go back and say, hey, where's your driver's license or your public ID?
Yeah.
And the problem is if it's a male or a female, who do you get? You know, usually when you do frisks, if it's a female prisoner or whatever, you go to the female.
Yeah.
If it's a male, you go to the male. In this case, again, in their defense, I don't know who the heck you go to, man.
This individual, according to the DallasNews.com, was male at birth, but legally changed her gender to female.
See, now I would basically take that birth thing and I'd put them in the birth spot.
And they say is identified in court records as a woman. I agree, Sam. It's just a weird situation, you know?
You got a difficult choice to make. But I would default towards the gender. I don't want to say assigned at birth, because I don't believe that we assign it, right? But the gender identified at birth, is that the...
Well, like in the lawsuit, it says a county employee told Jackson she needed to show her genitals because if she had a penis, she needed to be housed with men. And, I guess
I don't agree with that, though.
You don't? Okay, no, so
what I think is this, because whether they surgically remove the penis or not, Kurt, sorry to get too detailed about this, but there you go. I think that you need to stick with the gender that God ordained and that was acknowledged or identified at birth or whatever you want to call it. I would do that. I would put this person in that realm. Just because you make elective surgery or whatever else that, quote, changes the physical appearance, that doesn't mean that you change the core. And I'd put men with men and women with women to the best of my ability. And I would not force people to expose their genitals or, you know, say if you've got a this, then you got a that. And I wouldn't do that. I'd just simply say, look, you were born a male. You're going with the males. Okay? That's what we're doing. And I know that's, some would criticize that, Kurt, but what else do you do? What answers do you come up with? This stuff is wacky.
Yeah. I mean, it almost sounds like you've got to do the thing of the old days, Sam, rather than house them together, you've got to have individual rooms for every one of them, you know, like you do, you know, the bathroom situation where you have individual bathrooms and then, you know, you don't label them one way or the other. They're just...
And I get it. I just don't know that that's affordable or a realistic solution.
It's pretty crazy. Huh?
But I get your point. I mean, your point's well taken, right? I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Again, you're pointing out the ideal, and I agree with it. I'm just not sure in the real if that's possible or doable or, you know, I mean, right now the prisons are overcrowded big time, sir. So I personally think you go back, and if you've got rapes or sexual abuses and or murders and those kind of things, you belong in prison. But if you don't got those things, 9 times out of 10, I'd probably let people out, Kurt, or put people in halfway houses. Or there's a lot of solutions there. All right, a Fox host tells Donald Trump that he is seen as a beacon for repression around the world, Kurt. You want to respond to that?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember this. This is a story you've got, I guess. I remember part of it, or at least there was one situation where this one senator is saying that the ICE guys were kind of like the Ku Klux Klan, a beacon of repression is what they're saying that President
Trump
is like.
That's what Fox is saying, yeah. This is where, wow.
Yeah, I don't see it.
See, I don't agree with that at all. I think that's just insanity. But they say that because of the way Donald treats the press, see? So they're not, you know, talking about, they're just talking about, hey, Donald says we're evil and we're the enemy of the people, so I'm going to fire back and say you're the enemy. The whole world thinks you're the enemy, Donald. And I think it's ill-advised. I don't think it's a smart move by Fox or the Fox host at all. I think it's very concerning. But nevertheless, I bring that up because the next headline really makes you kind of go, wow, when Fox and CNN are working together now against the president. Quote, Houston Chronicle retracts story after fraud investigation. They had to retract 8 stories, Kurt. They say we apologize to our readers.
Well, yeah, Sam. I mean, we found this story, but I didn't really see it or hear hardly anybody else picking it up. In other words, it's kind of like a story that gets mentioned, but hardly anybody talks about it. You know, that's what you call fake news, or as the president would call it, fake news, right? And these guys basically had their... It says they investigated
8
the
stories is a lot, Kurt. That's not just a glitch oversight, right?
Yeah, to an egregious breach of that trust that is an offense to readers and journalists alike. That was according to the executive editor there, Nancy Barnes. Now, I mean, hats off to the Houston Chronicle for saying, hey, we messed up and we've got, egg on our face, et cetera. But do you hear... anybody else really, I guess they don't want to gang up on them. You could call it that because then, you know, the whole media might eat each other alive, you know, because there's so much what would you call it?
It's a good point, but I think you could do the right thing and praise them for doing what's right, to admit to their error and say, listen, we all make mistakes from time to time. We're not into fake news, and this is our effort to try to correct the record. And I think you could acknowledge it and point it out and admit there's fake news and admit there's mistakes and things. I think you actually gain credibility if you do it right, Kurt. There's a fine balance to walk, but I think it can be done.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we've seen the New York Times say, hey, we're going to quit lying to you, or we're going to quit, you know. And so wouldn't it be nice if they said, look, here, you know, this is the news, but here's the sections where we found out we messed up, you know, and this is part of that. So then they could correct the record. Instead of putting it on page A68, it would be up with the main parts of the news.
That's how we do it on this radio program. And if we make mistakes, and hey, you know what? When you're following fast-paced news, it's easy to get something wrong from time to time. Let's be acknowledgent and admit it. I think we gain greater credibility when we do personally.
Good point.
CNN's Carl Bernstein's in the news, Kurt. Media should not air propaganda, quote, press or Trump press events, should edit them. What?
Well, and what's so amazing is, so he's saying that the media shouldn't air the president's, you know, White House press briefings.
And we're saying that's exactly what should be done.
Well, and they're saying that's propaganda. You know, CNN's calling the president's reports propaganda, and I'm thinking, well, it's the pot calling the kettle black, right, Sam? I mean,
well, and I like your idea to say, if we're going to wonder what the president says, let's hear what the president says, not what their spin is. It's kind of like in the old days, you know, Kurt, when Gutenberg and the freedom of the press came. Hey, do you want to have everybody else read the Bible and tell you what it says? Or do you want to be able to read the Bible yourself and decide what you think it says?
Good point.
To me, is the comparative that we ought to highlight.
Yeah. Exactly.
So this guy, Carl Bernstein, is out in the weeds. The guy is, again, he wants to be the gatekeeper, and this proves the point, does it not? All right, conservatives are speaking out to Mitch McConnell, a bunch of them. They're writing an open letter to him and more, saying, hey, Mitch, we need to work around the clock to approve almost 200 Trump nominees while we got the chance. And boy, howdy, Kurt, do I agree.
Yeah, and you look at this list. Have you heard much about this, Sam?
Yes.
You have, okay.
Yeah, and I think it's good work by the people speaking out and encouraging the president. This is an example of solutions, Kurt, where I think we need to advise the president and let him know what our thoughts are and why and how, et cetera.
That's exactly right. They call it the Conservative Action Project, CAP, and I guess they launched a letter campaign and said that these lawmakers, like you said, ought to work around the clock. Now, I thought it was interesting. In the article, it says, the letter slams the Senate for its 2.5 days a week work schedule. And they called on it to halt Democrats' efforts to obstruct Trump's nominations. 2.5 days a week, Sam, work schedule? No wonder, you know, there's not a lot that gets done in the Senate, right? I don't know about the House, but, you know.
Well, they sure get paid a lot of money for that, sir.
Good point, Sam. Wow. But anyway, the bottom line for me is there's a whole bunch of guys, including some that we know on the list. You know, you've got Jerome Corsi and a number of others I went through and looked through.
And you don't have Sam Bushman on the list because I wasn't offered this list, but I would back that, Kurt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, it's cool to see that there's a bunch of them that are trying to lobby Mitch McConnell. Now, my question for you is, Sam, you think he'll get it all done?
Factually, no, I don't, but pray that he does.
Yeah.
All right, final story sure before the end of the hour. Most folks are turkey hunting, Kurt, but these guys in Wisconsin, they're doing a little different kind of hunting. Turns out Hunter shoots 19-point buck after tracking that dude for years, Kurt.
That's right. A 19-point buck is a pretty good-sized buck, Sam. And that's what this guy
got in
Wisconsin. Got a 19-point buck. He tracked it for years. And, you know, he even had some pictures and stuff. He said the buck ran 75 yards after it was hit, and it collapsed. So it was pretty cool. He's going to display it at the Shields so everybody else can take a look at it.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We will be live for Thanksgiving, by the way. So happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, I should say. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.